We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam podcast brought to you by Les Schwab Tire Centers. It'll be the best 45 minutes of your life, I promise. Doing the right thing since 1952.
Well, good morning, Portland. It's just about time. We'll get your day started right here with Dusty and Cam. On today in the fan. We'll get up and get started. It's time for Dusty and Cam. Just around 6, shower, shave, and coffee. It's time to get that sports fix. Bring a case of the Mondays, then there's Would You Rather, just a little bit of awkward. So tune in live today. It's Dusty and Cam.
Which one's crusty and which one's dusty?
My sports package is huge now.
Where are you at, brother?
Hornswoggled, befuddled.
I'm ready to crush your dreams in the morning.
Lighten up, Cam.
You don't even have a barn.
Would have built one just for you.
You'll love your dog.
I love you.
It's time for Dusty and Cam.
We've got to bifurcate those two things.
Good morning! Happy Monday to you, the 28th of September, 2020. Dusty here at Cam Cleland. Good morning, Mr. Cleland. How are you,
well,
sir?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. I'm ready to start Monday with this petition for everybody to sign on. Just get on board with me. No ties in sports ever again. No more ties in sports. Sports are done. We're done. But we're done. Done. That's even for soccer. No more ties.
Obviously a tie, you know. A tie.
No, can't
there's
do it.
No reason ever for a tie. There's no reason ever. Nobody gets up in the morning and goes, let's drive and watch a tie. Yeah. Let's go up to go. We worked really hard all
good
week.
Point.
And you know, we're going to go. Let's go watch two teams finish with a tie. No, nobody ever does that. Nobody gets excited about a tie. And I have the fix to the NFL overtime. As quickly as it sounds, each team gets a possession, right? Each fair, one possession. You score a touchdown, doesn't matter. You get a field goal, doesn't matter. After that possession, no punts. No punts.
No punts.
No
just
punts.
Play it out.
You have to go for it on every single play, and they're out. And then if you got to come down to a field goal or not, it doesn't matter. No punts.
I would take that up with one Doug Peterson of the Philadelphia Eagles.
No punts.
They punted.
God.
On fourth down.
Here's the thing about that game.
With nine seconds left, or was it 19 seconds left?
Here's the deal with that.
There's a nine in there.
If you finish the game regularly, okay, and you're punting to try to get to overtime, 100% agree with that. I agree with that move. Mm-hmm. Once you're in overtime, you can't have you're playing for a tie. You have to play to win.
You're
honestly playing to tie.
Ooh. So
that
saying,
doesn't make any sense.
You play to win the game.
It doesn't make any sense at all from a coach. If Doug Peterson throws the ball up in a Hail Mary or a blocked field goal and they lose, nobody is yelling at Doug Peterson for not trying. They're going, well, at least he tried to win. They're going to say that. But you punted to tie. And I get it because you're a stupid league that actually gives some sort of tiebreaker value.
Whoa.
No, there's a tiebreaker value. I'm just saying, we need to start a petition. Ties need to go away in all of sports.
Well, yes, I agree with you in the NFL, especially since college football fixed their ties.
Yeah, they did.
25 years ago.
They did.
I mean, they've fixed the problem of having a tie football game a quarter of a century ago, and the NFL is like, no, we're good. We'll still keep that. We're going to keep that in there. And the thing that is most head-scratching about what Doug Peterson did, and we saw it with Anthony Lynn the week prior against the Kansas City Chiefs, is that we are in an era where coaches are more and more aggressive, especially on fourth down during games, And it's you get these head scratching moves where no matter, and I guarantee you the analytics for the Philadelphia Eagles were telling them, go for it. I guarantee you the Chargers were telling them to go for it. Give yourselves a chance to win the game.
Yeah.
And they didn't. I mean, take Sunday Night Football as a prime example of how many times there was three straight possessions to start the second half where the Packers and the Saints were lining up to go for it on fourth down.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. You now have stats. You have everything. You can prove it.
They're telling you to go for it. You have a better chance if you want to win.
No one would ever go after a coach or players or anybody trying to win a football game and doing everything you can. Even on fourth and 975 yards, you do whatever you can at that. That is in the overtime situation. Yeah. The overtime is a dreadful deal. And don't tell me that the player safety thing. That's at this point in time we're looking at. You could. I can't believe I'm going to say this.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Even if you had to go to a sudden death kickoff.
Nice job, you kicker!
I would be okay with that instead of ending with a tie. I'd be okay with that. There's no football player or any competitive athlete on the face of the planet that wakes up and wants to have a tie and can't believe that they spent 3.5 hours to tie.
I actually really liked what I think it was the XFL was either going to do or try to do, where they just gave each team 5 plays from the 2-yard line. And it was like almost like a shootout in soccer. Maximum 10 plays in overtime, unless, of course, they're still tied. But let them run 5 plays, see how many times you get in.
Yeah,
that would be interesting. I would like a Kansas plan from the minus 40 to where you got to get like at least 20 yards to get a field goal to win it. I think that.
I think real football, to start off real football is fine. I mean, just play real football. Each team gets a possession, field goal or not. After that, you don't get to punt. You have to go for it on fourth down. Mm. At this point in time, that simplifies the game even faster. And at that point, once we get to the end, if they can't even do it, then you're going to have to come up with some immediate solution to not allow this anymore.
Oh, boy. Well, I don't think we're going to get it in the next couple of years, though. For some reason, they like the ties. They like the ties.
I don't think they like it. I think they tolerate it.
Well, the player safety is a big one because that was the whole thing about, remember when they cut the overtime down to 10 minutes and then we're like, oh, okay, this is not good because it was all about player safety. Putting another quarter on those guys, not good.
Right.
And that's where it comes down to is they don't want to risk injury by playing these long and exaggerated overtimes. But at the same time, like there is a better fix. I mean, you guys can figure this thing out without playing an entire quarter of football.
I think there's got to be a better solution. They're going to keep working on it. They know they have to keep working on it.
I mean, but the thing is with the, like, if you have the Kansas plan in college football, you say you'd like to play real football there. At least it is more of a semblance of real football than the first team that scores gets to go home. You know?
Yeah, no, and the first team that scores, if you get the opening kick and you kick a field goal, you still get a possession in the NFL.
Yeah, I know.
So scoring, it's not entirely true, but in the Kansas plan, at least, it's better than nothing. You're not going to have to worry about punting. Punting is what we're trying to get away from here in overtime.
And rarely do these...
We're just trying to get away from that.
Rarely do the college overtime games go anywhere close to as long as an NFL.
Unless you're in the Big 12, where they go to 70 points.
No, that was the SEC. Remember, that was LSU Texas A&M, where they had a 7-overtime game.
Well, that was... Was that one?
Yeah.
I thought there was Texas. It was a couple years ago.
Texas A&M, LSU.
Mm.
Yeah, that game took forever.
There's a couple. They've been pretty typical. They don't play any defense in the Big 12. Or I guess they don't play a lot of defense anywhere in college football right now.
Well, not in the SEC either.
No.
I mean, think about that.
Or they were prepared for it.
LSU. Got it.
Not surprised.
The Texas A&M LSU game, 74-72. Mm. 7 overtimes.
Yeah. But you know what you didn't have?
Dear God.
A tie.
No, you didn't. You had a winner.
You didn't have a tie.
That was when they gave the ice bath to Ed Orgeron before the game was even over.
Yeah. That's too bad.
Interesting about that tie, we get a text here that says the over under for that game was 46.5. They just needed someone to win to hit the over.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they pushed it.
It ended on 46.
They ended at 46.
So you kissed your sister
a score
in gambling.
And then had, no, it was 46.5.
Oh,
so
it was 46.5. So you lost. I got
under.
Yeah, so if you took the under.
The tie saved the under betters.
Gotcha.
Oh, boy.
Saved them.
But you know that there's some people that got that line at 46 on the dot. And they are sitting there going, I have a push on my parlay. That's not good.
Those people that created half points in Vegas, hats off to you.
It's brilliant. It really is a brilliant,
brilliant way to separate the money.
Yeah, that's right. You have a, because guess what? You have a winner and a loser that way.
You can't have a tie in gambling.
All right, let's go. We've got a Monday show, which means we have our wide right, the mishaps, miscues, and blunders from the weekend in football. That will be coming at 7:15. We will have our case of the Mondays. Maybe you have a bad beat that is grinding your gears. You can text us 503-250-1080 with your cases of the Mondays, what's bothering you. And then we'll have rapid fire at 8:30. We'll go through every single NFL game played yesterday. Mm-hmm. And boy, there was a lot of them. I believe we had 14 games in the National Football League yesterday.
Good.
We'll go through each and every one coming up at 8:30. Between now and then, we got a ton of football. And, oh, by the way, we've got a fantastic Monday night game that we need to talk about, too.
Is there some good quarterbacks playing tonight?
Monday night foosball. Mm-hmm. You've got the last two MVPs of the National Football League, Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, going head-to-head in Monday night football. Now, these are the Monday night games that we want. These are them right here.
Every
Monday
week.
Night used to have
best
this
on best.
Kind of this kind of fervor to it.
The goods on the goods.
Sure. Yeah. The two longest regular season winning streaks in the NFL.
Oh, we're going to get.
Don't look ahead to the Thursday night game.
Why not? You don't want to watch the
Jets and the Broncos? Not really.
Two fan bases. They might. Look, the city of New York has the two optimally, might be the two worst football teams in the NFL. That's hard to do.
Well, yeah.
That's really, really hard to do.
The San Francisco 49ers had nobody.
Well.
And they still
don't Nick
beat
Mullins.
The living hell out of the Giants yesterday.
Buck, he just called your Nick Mullins a nobody.
I can do that.
Well, I mean,
really?
Yep. I read that the Niners had 10 players and $78 million in their salary cap sitting out on Sunday. That was 40% of their salary cap.
Nobody believes me. Only eight guys make all the money.
My goodness. Well, yeah, that's a tough break right there. And Joe Judge experiment might not be working too well for the New York Giants right now.
Not yet.
Oh boy. Well, will it ever turn around?
I don't know.
It's ugly. And the NFC East is the worst division in football.
Right now.
It
sure looks like it right
bad
now.
Bad in the NFC East. They have every single one of their teams has a negative point differential. And they
Who's
do
the
not have a
team
with a winning record.
Washington.
As of right now, yeah.
No, Dallas is the best team. I mean, come on. Dallas is the best team. They're the best team.
Are they?
Yes. The Dallas is the best team.
Okay. I mean, they have the highest point differential at -9.
All right.
I mean, so they and Washington are 1-2. And then you have the 0-2-1 Eagles and the 0-3 Giants.
Speaking of that.
Boy.
Yeah. It's a tough division. Somebody's got to win it, though. Somebody has to win that division.
Okay. Well, when we're talking about bad football teams, let's talk about which coaches won't make it to the end of the year. That will be our P1 social today. 503-250-1080. Because I have counted up, we could have five coaches that don't make it through the year. I mean, statistics tell us that it'll only be around one. But which one is going to be the first to go and which one is the most deserving at this point? 503-250-1080. That be the fan text line. We had a full slate of football this weekend, but that's just the beginning of what's going to be a wild sports overload October because the NBA finals are set. Dustin Cam on the Fan.
As I've said time and time again, as Spo constantly says, we're not for everybody. I'm not for everybody, but, here I am, and the group of guys that we have, we're for one another. We're going to constantly compete for one another, and this is home for me.
Jimmy Butler is going to the NBA Finals. Well, it's a great story to kind of follow, and you hear right there, like Eric Spoelstra says, he's praising his coach on the culture that the Miami Heat have instilled as they pull away. That game was great last night. They entered the fourth quarter with just a two-point lead, outscored Boston by 10 in the final stanza for a 125-113 win. And Jimmy Butler and the Heat going to the NBA Finals to take on LeBron James.
Hey, quick question with this, Bug. You know, is it Iguodala's seventh straight finals he's going to, or eight? Is it, it's some crazy, right?
I don't know. I know that last year, obviously, he didn't, but he was injured.
Well, but I mean, he's on a team now. I think it's seven straight.
This will be his 10th NBA Finals.
Unbelievable.
He's had a good little run there, Andre Iguodala.
He had some nice punch off the bench, but bam, bam. That dude is playing well, too.
Wait, his 10th NBA Finals?
Sorry, I had audio like, up here. I thought you were talking about LeBron.
LeBron's 10th Finals.
His 5th straight.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't play last year. He wasn't in the finals last year.
He was not in the finals last year.
Yeah, it does appear that this is like 5 for him. My God.
LeBron?
That's great. 10.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's this kind of... LeBron didn't even want to talk about it. Is the bubble getting to LeBron?
No. He's just focused on something. You see him sitting down. You could tell. He had mentioned to Chris Haynes, I thought everybody followed the Chris Haynes tweet, and said that I'm going to close this out tonight. Just watch. And he did.
Mm-hmm.
And he came off. He sat down, and everybody else wanted to sell it. First of all, there's no fans there. There's confetti. That was funny. It was funny to watch. Awkward to watch. Interesting to watch that they tried to create a celebration.
Well, you can't have a celebration without confetti.
You can't. Well, I know, but you can't have a celebration without any fans there. It's just, it was kind of like, all right, there's some family around. He sat down. He showed that everybody that, no, this is just another step. We're trying to win a championship for the team, the organization, for everything.
Yeah, and look, I think he knows this is a team with faults. I mean, nothing's going to come easy to the Los Angeles Lakers, especially when you're staring down the barrel of whichever team is coming out of the East, and it did appear it was going to be Miami early in that series, and it was. The Miami Heat now punching their ticket to the finals, and look.
Great matchup now.
I really do. I think it's going to be a fun series with those two teams because you can have Jimmy Butler and LeBron James going toe-to-toe with each other. Bam Adebayo and Anthony Davis. That can be a fun matchup as well.
Yep.
I mean, this is where you're going to have star on star and strength on strength across the board for the Miami Heat and the Los Angeles Lakers. Now, look, LeBron, better than Jimmy Butler. Anthony Davis, better than Bam Adebayo, but you want equalizers, right? And that's been the mismatch for every single team that the Lakers have faced, is that you want to have some semblance of resistance against those two players because make the rest of the Lakers beat you, and that's what Miami can do.
Oh, they can do that, but also to give credit to the coaching staffs because I did not think that Frank Vogel, I don't think anybody did, but maybe there was. I thought it was Jason Kidd in waiting. That was the mindset that it felt like, all right, this is not. Now, he has a good staff, but to change by putting Dwight Howard in, that flipped the last two games because it gave them more of a punch. It did something different to them. But this was LeBron series to close out. Mm-hmm. So now the better coach is Coach Spo. I'm not going to say it's blatantly obvious because you got to give credit because LeBron is part of the coaching staff, as much as everybody wants to say that's part of the coaching staff that you have on the Lakers. But for Eric Spoelstra now to take this team again and do it with, I mean, true superstar, Jimmy Butler. Superstar.
Well, he's always been underappreciated for the talent
star
that he has. I mean,
but not a superstar.
Early in his career, when he was putting up ridiculous numbers in Chicago, he got more hype than he ever has the last like 4 years.
Yeah,
you know. But yeah, he is, and he should be. He should be.
I think he's a good player. He's a great player. I don't consider him a superstar.
Yeah, I don't really consider him kind of in that number one elite all-star tier. I mean, he's good enough to be on an all-star team, but when you think best players in the NBA, I don't think Jimmy Butler comes into the top kind of 10 in your mindset.
That's where I'm trying to go with.
At the beginning of his career, though, he did have that conversation about him. When he was with Tom Thibodeau, and he was like, oh my God, who's this kid? You know, where did this guy come from? And then it definitely did slow down because guess what? The Bulls sucked. And then he went to Minnesota and Philadelphia, and you're like, what is going on with this dude?
Great coaching. That's my point with Coach Spoelstra. Amplifying it. I mean, he's a guy now that you could just sit there and watch, and Jimmy Butler makes everybody better around him with their toughness and their attitude.
Did you see the piece of apparel that made its way into the post-game celebration?
Jimmy
Butler's been paying tribute to people on his team. He was wearing a Tyler Hero high school jersey last week, but
like
last
that.
Night,
uh-huh.
an Eric Spoelstra University of Portland jersey.
Love the purple.
Go Pilots. Swag
Love
was probably
purple.
Thrilled over that one. Where do you get an Eric Spoelstra Portland Pilots jersey?
I don't know.
They're everywhere.
Did he just get jerseys from everyone on his team and related to his team, like shipped into the bubble? Because how did he have this at the ready?
I don't know. I mentioned this a while when the bubble was first getting going.
Amazon.
They're having like hundreds of thousands of dollars a day in Amazon deliveries.
He was prepped for this and ready to go. You know, he's getting prepped for it.
Well, you talk about confidence that you're going to win.
Yeah. Set up his coffee shop, too. Big yeah. Face Coffee.
Goodness.
That's what we do.
Well, we have the NBA Finals starting on Thursday.
God, I wish they were allowed to play in the cities here. And we just call a hot route for them. I mean, come on. That's too bad.
Well, not in L.A.
I know.
But the bubble will finish up. You've got, it is Wednesday. Wednesday yeah. is when the NBA Finals starts. So they go Wednesday, Friday, Sunday with the NBA Finals. And look, Wednesday is going to be a loaded day because Major League Baseball postseason starts tomorrow.
16 teams made it in, and the Mariners weren't one of them.
You had no, they weren't.
Brewers got in with a losing record.
Well, how about the Bucks Giants? All they needed was a win last night, and they would have gotten
in. Just tripped all over themselves, just like three games in a row.
I'm so sorry for your championships. But that does suck. It's frustrating. I get it. It's frustrating as a fan.
Don't deflect and project because of the fact that his team wins.
I just said it's frustrating, and I understand. I just had 30 years of it.
Every year I have an annual bet with one of my best friends, just a Giants versus Mariners win total. It's usually pretty close. I just barely edged it out this year by two wins. Got a Mariners, nice bottle of whiskey coming my way.
God dang it. The Mariners on a shortened season with an expanded playoffs still can't get in. Still can't get in.
No.
That's why.
They're terrible.
Yeah. Well, not
they're
terrible.
They're
not terrible.
They're rebuilding.
No, Pittsburgh is terrible. The Mariners are average. Average enough to be out of the playoffs. That's average. Terrible means you're Pittsburgh.
Well, Pirates went to the postseason.
We're talking this year in this perspective right now. At least we're not the Pirate. No, at least the Pirates have gone.
That's what I'm saying is that it's been 19 years.
What's the measuring
years.
Stick? It's like, well, at least you're not the Pirates. Oh, wait. If the now Mariners, everybody, it's at least you're not the Mariners.
If the Mariners don't make the playoffs next year, it'll be 20 years.
Thank you.
Yes. 20
yep.
years.
20 years.
Oh, 20. My goodness.
Still waiting. It'll be great when it happens.
Yeah, it will be great when they finally turn the corner.
Yeah.
But Wednesday, you have game one of the NBA Finals, and then you have six postseason baseball games going on. It's starting at 9 a.m. all the way through to the late pitch will be a 7 p.m. Brewers-Dodgers game. Mm-hmm. So you'll have six baseball games on Wednesday. You will have the NBA Finals game one, and then, oh, by the way, Thursday starts, and you have Thursday night football and the college football slate starting on that Thursday, too. This is what we were all waiting for. October is going to be
can't wait.
It's crazy the best sports, month. Sports week or
it's
month.
The greatest sports month every single year, and this year is not going to actually. This year is going to amplify it.
Overload.
It's going to be even better.
When's the Masters?
Masters starts in November.
November.
Mm-hmm. I think it's November 7th is the start of the Masters week. I could be wrong. I could be off by a week.
Wow. Yeah. So we're just that'll be the start of Pac-12 play too.
How about that?
You're going to have everything going on.
The cup runneth over.
This is...
it's great.
The pandemic made sports go away for, 3 months there?
Right, just going to compact it.
But my goodness, we're going to finish with the flurry at the end of this season.
Are. Well, that's right. We're going to turn this year around. We're going to get some positive stuff.
All right, let's do it. We're going to get a full 7 games
of the
Pac-12 season.
Speaking
of
being positive...
Hold on, 6 games... And then one plus one.
No, I was trying to lead you in. Speaking
That's
of being
be,
positive.
Yeah, hold on. But
hold on. No, wait. Oh, right.
Six
I'm sorry.
Games
you go.
Plus a conference championship game.
All right.
It's looking like the Pac-12's going to have a chance to get in. They're going to have a chance to get
Can
in.
Can I say it now?
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of being positive.
Speaking of being positive, the meltdowns are aplenty in the NFL through the first 3 weeks. Which coaches won't make it to the end of the year? 503-250-1080. We've got five guys here. Dusty and Cam on the fan. Here's Buck with SportsCenter.
Down here, it's our time. It's our time down here.
Every morning at 6:30, Dusty and Cam want to hear from you.
Went to the coast. We get together, have a few laughs.
It's time for Dusty and Cam's P1 Social.
Want me to drive?
No, I'll drive.
The time of the day where you drive the conversation.
We're waiting.
Text Dusty and Cam at 503-250-1080 and get social with us.
This is your time.
On 1080.
Now go out there and take it.
The Fan.
503-250-1080. That is the Fan text line. All right, we've got some meltdowns going on in the NFL through the first 3 weeks. Which coaches won't make it to the end of the year? 503-250-1080. We want to hear from you. Man, you could count 5, maybe. You could make the case could get fired during this season if things continue to go wrong for them. Five coaches in the NFL. We want to hear from you. 503-250-1080.
We'll make the case because there's Gase, Quinn, O'Brien, Fangio. Who's your fifth? Is there a magic button that's going
to
be?
Well, you could go, if it continues to go as bad as it is for the Giants, Joe Judge boot there.
That'll never happen.
They are minus 41 in point differential through three games.
Well, that one.
0-3, not competitive.
Yeah.
You've got Mike Zimmer, who that was a playoff team people had high expectations. Yeah. They are 0-3 in blowing leads late.
Right.
That is another one that you could make a case for if this continues to go off the rails.
P1 Dustin chiming in says, Dan Quinn, Crazy Eyes Gase, Bill O'Brien, and Matt Patricia are all gone. Matt Nagy saved his job going to Foles. Trubisky would have gotten him fired. Even though he was 2-0, you knew he was going to end up going 4-12 if he kept Mitch in there.
Of all the coaches that I think Matt Nagy's not only the safest coach, he understands his situation, is that Mitch Trubisky was a dead man walking. Every time you put him out there, he just finally said, forget you and the rest of the upper management. I'm putting this guy in. I still think it's Vic Fangio. We're going to notice this on Thursday, but my gosh, who's going to get fired on Thursday? One of the two. Yeah. Well, because if you do let your coach go on a Thursday or you kind of let it happen on Friday, you get a little bye week. It's kind of a short little bye. It's a short week. So you kind of take the weekend and let something settle in. Of all the mistakes, it's quite clear the biggest mistake has been Adam Gase. After that, Dan Quinn, I just feel bad for Atlanta. Just awful for their whole franchise.
Well, why? I mean, don't they make their bet a lot in what is going on with it?
Well, because I've been in a mental mindset of a team that can't get out of their own way mentally. And that's disappointing because you know there's a lot of good talent on that team. There's a lot of good guys on that coaching staff. Players are solid. I'm trying to take a little bit of empathy in what they're going through because ever since the Super Bowl, and not to say that players don't get affected by that mentality, you start to really believe, man, we can't find a way to win. And it seeps into your brain. You'd be amazed how much your brain can tell you can't do something if you keep doing it over and over again. So I feel for those guys because they're a good football team.
Yeah, but they still do it week in and week out. Yeah. And that's when you sit there and you go, boy, you know, it's a performance-based industry, you know, and they're not performing.
Yo, thank you, Captain Obvious.
Well,
you're right.
Look, I mean, I know that's why you don't feel bad for them, though, because
you're
sitting there
and
you're going,
man, you, I,
man,
you, me, I,
oh,
me.
Man.
Can't we do, yeah, that's mine.
They in the jaws of victory, they find defeat more than anybody else.
Win or go home. That's kind of the mentality. We'll get somebody new, but that's those are tough ways to lose. They're not getting crapped on. They're beating themselves, and that's very hard and mentally. It's hard to deal with when you get in there.
This text says, Gase, O'Brien, and Quinn are all dead men walking.
Mm. Bill O'Brien's the interesting one because he's his own boss.
He is.
He's the general manager of the Texans as well, which gives you a lot more leeway not to get fired in the middle of the year unless ownership just steps in and does it for him. But I don't see that happening either because of the fact that the ownership there is so out of touch with what's going on.
Let me tell you what's going to happen with Houston here. This is my hot take, is you're going to start to see if they lose another couple games, all their high-priced talent is going to be on the trade block. So that means Seattle, just make a nice little call to try to get J.J. Watt. That's all you have to do. Just make a nice little, just be like, hello, Bill, we've already made a lot of trades with you. Would you be willing to throw J.J. Watt? Because you guys are 0-6. We need a pass rusher.
You think they're going to get rid of their franchise player?
He's like 30. Yes, absolutely. Bill O'Brien is just like what Bill Belichick does. You get rid of somebody who's high price. You may love the guy. He may be a great guy, but at some point in time, you're like, look, we can get a couple draft picks. We'll move forward. The guy's always hurt. He's giving you, yeah, it will happen.
Boy, that'll be it. Texans fans to turn on him even quicker.
Yeah.
Woo.
Business.
503-250-1080. Which guys could be the ones that are going? Who's going to be the first to get canned? 503-250-1080. I mean, I if you look at it, what's happening with the Jets and Adam Gase, I do not understand what. Well, we're only three games in. Mm-hmm. I still don't understand what the Jets are doing because you can see it from a mile. You can see it. In the offseason, the preseason, you had no games but your training camp, and then through the first 3 weeks, you can see he is not working there.
This text says Quinn and Gase are gone after this weekend.
Really? Really?
Ooh.
That's bold. Do you think two coaches? I don't know if we've seen two coaches fired in the first 4 weeks of a season. But of the group, to answer your question, or maybe you're thinking of it quite how everybody is thinking of it when it comes to the Jets, everybody's quit. Anybody that's in the performance side as the players, they have mentally quit on him.
Yeah, and they
that's it. And you just have quit.
There were the reports out of New York this week that their players were already starting the rumblings of we don't trust him within these buildings, and that was leading into week three of the regular season, where it used to just be, hey, this is outside noise. It's no longer there mm-hmm. anymore. It is within the walls of that building.
P1 Dustin says, Anthony Lynn might be gone. How do you lose to my Panthers with McCaffrey and their starting left tackle out? That's pathetic.
I 100% agree, even though Justin Herbert did that. You lose to a guy that's over 50. He's not 50. 50%
Justin
of your
Herbert
offense.
Did what?
You lose as a group, as a team. There were a lot of things in that you're a much better roster than the Carolina Panthers. You just got beat by a team that was more prepared.
Yep, and they had a chance at the end, too.
No, I mean, nobody wants a hook and ladder to be the reason why you win a game.
That's a gong show of a play. But you still had a chance at the end, and you were driving down the field. Granted, it was a hook and ladder, but you're sitting there and you're saying you are good enough to be in games. The rookie quarterback, he is not necessarily the reason why you're losing these football games. He did cough it up once and then had a pretty ill-advised interception, but you have to be able to overcome that. The right side of their offensive line is bad, and their center's out for the year as well. I mean, they've got issues with the Chargers, but I don't know how Anthony Lynn makes it into next season. But getting fired this year, I think they give him this year.
This text lets us know the Falcons just became the first team ever to lose two games in a row where they led by 15 points going into the fourth quarter. And then this text says the Cowboys should be 0-3. Mike McCarthy's been awful.
Right.
He won't get fired this year, but he's been terrible.
He has. And then made some key mistakes, but unfortunately they've been in the games in the final pushes. I mean, they've had opportunities. This is just like Atlanta. You look at in a team that they beat, you have an opportunity to win. You're still on the cusp of being a good team. I think you could just use your eyeballs when you watch the football. The Giants are dreadful. The Jets are dreadful. Denver's garbage. Atlanta and Dallas are good teams. They took the Seahawks to everything they had. You just got to find a way to get over the hump. What gets you over the hump? Being more disciplined and not making those errors, blatant mistakes.
Well, I think Dallas will look better when they're not going up against Jared Goff, Matt Ryan, or Russell Wilson. They got Baker Mayfield this week. Their secondary has been atrocious. We think of how bad the Seahawks secondary has been. The Dallas Cowboys secondary has been horrific this year, and we saw it yesterday with, you know, the efficiency again of Russ. You know, I mean, he's been doing that to everyone, but you're sitting there and you're going,
something's
got to get
there.
You're
going up against an MVP guy there at this point. You're going up against somebody
that's... they've had three really good quarterbacks they've seen to start to come out of the gate. And
get used to it, because this league's getting better and better at quarterback every week.
Yeah, but here's a big problem, too, is how do the players react to Mike McCarthy? Because you see what he said after the game yesterday? He said, people aren't supposed to run wide open. That's what Mondays are for. We'll take a hard look at it.
Yeah.
Their secondary has been so bad.
Yeah.
The guys are just, I mean, Tyler Lockett, wide open. DK Metcalf on the one where it was an incredible recovery on the strip from behind, but he was wide open.
Right. And that's a rookie, though, covering him. And you just go, all right.
Well,
I mean, DK Metcalf shredded him. Okay, that might be a little aggressive. He knocked around Gilmore, who was the defensive player of the year. Okay, so DK Metcalf's a dude. If you can take the defensive player of the year from New England and get the multiple catches and give him everything you got and not embarrass him, but really, really go toe-to-toe with the best player and then take a rookie, of course DK Metcalf's going to do that to a rookie.
The Dallas Cowboys, man, they're on the struggle bus. And what is it, four catches for 92 against Gilmore?
They'll get it right. The team has talent. Their offensive line was in shambles towards the end. Zeke couldn't even run. And if you can't run versus Seattle, that was a problem. They too many screens. There's just a lot of things unpacked there. But Dallas is the best team in that division.
But doesn't it kind of feel like it's the same old thing all over again? We say this every year with the Cowboys.
Yeah, they're always on the cusp.
Every year.
That's what Dak Prescott is. He is a good quarterback, not great. He doesn't elevate you. Russell Wilson is the elevator, man.
503-250-1080. Which coaches won't make it to the end of the year? We want to hear from you. Dustin Cam on the Fan. We're only in week three of the NFL season, but we've already got hot seats getting scorching for some coaches in the NFL. We want to hear from you, 503-250-1080. Which guys are not going to make it to the end of the year, because the list is pretty long and it's growing. We're getting new names added to it all the time, including, we had a texter earlier, said Matt Patricia. And what about Matt Patricia there? They pick up a big win over the Arizona Cardinals, handing the Cardinals their first loss of the year.
What a dreadful loss by Arizona. Dreadful. That was bad.
Well, are the Lions really that bad? You look at the Lions, they are, because they had a lead on a 3-0 Bears team.
Okay.
They had a chance to win it at the end with DeAndre Swift. Mm-hmm. Then they got the Packers, took it to them. But the Packers are 3-0, and they look to be the part. And then they go and they beat the Arizona Cardinals.
Right.
Well, I mean, what? They played a tough schedule so far.
Arizona lost that game. Detroit didn't do anything. I mean, Arizona lost that game.
This text says, out of all of them, O'Brien.
It's just an opinion, dude. Relax. Texas
O'Brien
here.
Is the safest. They've played, in my opinion, the top three teams in the AFC. He will turn it around enough to survive.
That's legitimately a fair comment. I can get behind that one. That makes sense. I mean, you got to give it time. You just got to be able to use your eyeballs and see the whole. You could just see the aura of a team. You can tell when one team is really locked in and loaded, and then they're close. They kind of, you're just like close. They get a little bit of talent, and they're in a game or they're not. You can just see players are fighting. The Bears are a fighting team. You know, they just need a leader. They just need a real leader at quarterback. And
the Bears?
No, I'm talking about watching teams with like the Bears, or seeing the difference between the Jets, understanding what's at Denver's problem, looking at a team like Jacksonville, who should be the worst team in the league, but they got a lot of energy and juice because they like their leader. It's easy to watch. The Jets are brutal. Everybody can see it.
Hey, this conversation about hot seats may get even more this next week, because Houston plays Minnesota, and those are two winless teams that both had expectations heading into the year, and their coaches could be, and Mike Zimmer could be feeling it after this week if they could fall to 0-4 to an 0-3 Texans team.
This text goes right into that. It says that, let's see, now it moved on me. Oh, how about Mike Zimmer in Minnesota? 0-3 to start, and the Vikings always blow it in the playoffs.
Well, they didn't blow it last year. They beat the Saints, which, man, is Sean Payton on the hot seat too? I mean, come on. These teams are, you're losing games, close games. Minnesota got blown out by Green Bay. Now Green Bay they look fantastic because Aaron Rodgers is playing fantastic. So to say Minnesota, Mike Zimmer's an excellent football coach. They had six players opt out. They have a lot of injuries.
They didn't opt out. They had the guys leaving free agency.
Well, I'm sorry. That's what I meant. Yeah. I meant guys left in free agency, not opt out. I was thinking of the Patriots for some reason. But yes, Mike Zimmer's a good coach.
He is a good coach, but I mean, they got housed by the Indianapolis Colts too, where Kirk Cousins looked atrocious last week. Yeah. And then this week, Steven Gostkowski hits another game. 3 weeks in a row for Gostkowski. Hits a game-winning field goal. Yeah.
How about them Titans?
Vrabel's not getting fired.
No.
This text says, might be a hot take, but Doug Peterson, does that Super Bowl buy him another year? Because, my God, they just tied with the Bungles.
Yes. No, it's going to take an act of some act of God to get Doug Peterson fired for at least a decade. That's what a Super Bowl gets you. It gets you that kind of time.
Could you imagine,
Sean Payton,
though,
for God's sakes.
Could you imagine what
that was 2009.
Could you imagine what the Philly fans would do, though?
Yeah.
If they were able to be in the stadium right now, they would be booing to no end. I mean, they look bad. Carson Wentz looks horrible. I mean, it's going downhill in a hurry for him, and I don't know if he makes it that decade, because one thing the Saints have is that they're always, you know, in a 12-13 win team.
Real quick, Buck, I wanted to give you my feel on Philly is that the mistake that they made was drafting Jalen Hurts, because they put an already young guy that's come off the ACL that should have been good, is already mentally caught up in the fact that Nick Foles won a Super Bowl and he wasn't the guy there, and now you drafted another quarterback who was a superstar in college and you set him back mentally. As much as everyone wants to say to be mentally tough, it's got to him where he's not even the same guy emotionally and physically out there. Great dive in the end zone to make a play. But Carson Wentz is affected by that draft pick.
Deal texts in and says, I hate firing coaches early, but I'm not sure Quinn can last. Plus, look at who some of the replacement options are. Chiefs OC Eric Bieniemy and 49ers DC Robert Saleh should be getting head coaching jobs.
You know, that's an interesting one, though, too, is that, you know, if you go back and you look at the history of teams that fire coaches midseason, it doesn't work out well, because, I mean, you obviously have it is very dysfunctional to fire a coach in the middle of the year. Mm-hmm. You may get an uptick like Greg Williams takes over for Hugh Jackson. They win a couple of games. But long term, franchises don't rebound quickly if you fire a guy midway through.
It's true. And also, you can start your interview process faster. You can start your transition. But you're throwing the season away if you fire a coach not just early in the season. But we're talking within the first 4 weeks, because that's what the prediction is. Somebody's going to get fired after this game on Thursday. I don't know.
Well, and other coaches around the league see that and be like, if they're going to can this dude in the middle of the year, you know, are they going to give me enough time? You know, there's an element of that. Yeah. Just sitting there going, looking around, being like, I don't want that to be me midway through the year.
The other part of that, though, is once you're labeled a head football coach, you get a head football coach opportunity in the National Football League, you just don't turn it down if you're a first-year guy or anything. Like you take that and run. If you're coveted, like I think an Eric Bieniemy is going to be that, and there's a couple other guys, like you said, Robert Saul. There's a couple DCs and some OCs out there that you start to find, because look how successful Green Bay. You want to throw Cincinnati in there? Cincinnati, come on.
Competitive.
Very competitive. Joe Burrow, my God, he's going to need a cryo chamber because he got slaughtered. That kid's got to learn to get down, or he's not going to make it through the season.
I thought he died.
Yeah, there's a couple hits where you can't do that in the NFL. College, you can get away with it because guys aren't as good. You can't do that in the NFL. You're gonna kill yourself.
That hit in the pocket, though, like he tried to. I mean, that was just
destroyed.
Like, oh my God,
you can't get hit like that.
Yeah, and Herbert may be going down the same pathway too. I mean, that right side of the offensive line, he had a guy in the backfield almost immediately. Yeah.
Don't be a hero. Just get down. Nobody cares. Get down.
Or be Russell Wilson.
Yeah, just get run rid around. Of the football.
You just run around for a while. Be better than everybody else. Do that. Hey, records are falling in Seattle. Russell Wilson has a number one now. But is it sustainable for the offense to carry this team? Dustin Cam on the Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.